Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. CBS has polled the most coveted of voters, the uncommitted registered voters both political camps want and need to attract. CBS News Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
Two-thirds of voters who said that they were uncommitted a month ago are still uncommitted now. 20% say that they now choose John McCain for president. 14% choose Barack Obama.
Only 6% actually expect McCain to continue Bush policies, an indication his maverick image remains in place. On the who would bring change to Washington question, it's a virtual tie, with the edge going to Obama Biden 54-52. The experience question goes to the GOP. 82% said John McCain's prepared to be president. Only 31% said the same of Barack Obama. White House campaigns today. Barack Obama in Virginia, John McCain in Ohio.
He said just a few weeks ago he thought that the fundamentals of our economy are sound. This is at a time when we have the highest unemployment rate in 5 years.
Senator Obama says that he is the agent of change, my friends. Tell me one time he has taken on his party. Never.
OPEC decides not to cut oil production. James Cordier at Liberty Trading says it's one reason oil prices continued to come down today.
They're coming to grips with oil going below $100 as opposed to trying to keep oil prices higher, which could eventually put the economics globally in such a tailspin that oil comes down to 50.
Oil today, 103 a barrel, down more than $3. This was Lance Armstrong when he had won his seventh Tour de France.
Vive la Tour. Forever.
After a few years of comfy retirement, Armstrong is going to race again. CBS's Armin Katayan.
He plans to run a race in about four or five events, both here in the United States and in Europe, prior to next July and taking on the world in the Tour de France next summer in France.
The reason he's doing it, Lance Armstrong is trying to raise $260 million for a foundation to fight cancer. The Berkeley, California tree sitters came down today, nearly 2 years up a tree. At the University of California.
This began back in 2006 when UC announced that it was going to build a student athletic training center and the university would have to remove some oak trees from a grove here. Within hours, people began sitting in trees.
No violence, says KCBS's Bob Melrose, who was there for the end of it all. Hurricane Ike is clearing Cuba, and its northeast quadrant has been raking South Florida.
We continue to watch the track of Hurricane Ike, a powerful storm that has caused much damage in Cuba, and today has brought tropical storm conditions to the Florida Keys.
The expectation now is the storm at 75 miles an hour and barely a hurricane may be Category 3 at the weekend when it could be sailing into Texas. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 280 points today. The NASDAQ lost about 60. This is CBS News.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 2000, the U.S. 4x100 relay team won the gold in a blistering 37.61 seconds. You, on the other hand, managed to strain your calf muscle in just 0.61 seconds, celebrating a touchdown in your last flag football game. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
This just in, a Texas appeals court has stopped tomorrow's scheduled execution of Charles Dean Hood. His attorneys are questioning the fairness of the trial because of an alleged affair between the judge and one of the prosecutors. Hood was convicted of killing a man and a woman in the Dallas suburb of Plano in 1989. Another warning on colon cancer and how to help patients actually beat it longer term.
It's a colon cancer guideline that's more than a decade old.
Patients undergoing a resection for colon cancer should have at least 12 lymph nodes removed and examined
to determine if the cancer has spread and whether chemotherapy is needed. But in a study in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, Northwestern researcher Carl Bilimoria says 62% of hospitals still don't follow the recommendation, putting patients' lives at risk. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
In 2001, Don Gorski of Fond du Lac was at 18,000. Now he says he's eaten 23,000 Big Macs in 36 years. I did the math. That's about 1 3/4 a day. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month per $1,000 financing on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host behind the microphone again. This is what I love to do. Thanks for letting me do it. Otherwise, I'd be in therapy and probably hooked on OxyContin or something. The PBC Express has a full load of passengers today. We're going to talk media matters with Paul Waldman in just a moment. Later this hour, Dar Jamil returns to our program. He was unembedded when he covered the war in Iraq. We'll talk about how the surge they claim has worked, but Bush says most of our troops have to stay. Yes, the success is, mostly rhetorical and mostly for the benefit of this fall's political campaigns. But study their actions. If we were winning in Iraq, if we were succeeding, we'd be pulling more troops out of there and sending them to Afghanistan. Also on today's show, Jeff Cohen, founder of the media reform group called FAIR, and the author of Cable News Confidential, based on his work at MSNBC. We're going to get his advice for Rachel Maddow, who debuted her new show last night. And I was so pleased to see it. An actual liberal in the liberal media. Of course, she had to spend 10 minutes arm wrestling Pat Buchanan. But that's another story. Rachel, good on you. Keep up the good work. And it was a show that didn't have a lot of whooshes. You know, they weren't trying to box it all up. And she didn't have all that cheesy showbiz stuff that Keith Olbermann includes in his show. I just think it's an auspicious debut. We're also going to talk about Sarah Palin. First, Kay Brown from the Alaska Democratic Party, a former legislator in the state, will join us to give us her views on Sarah, the maverick, the reformer. And then Jason Leopold's been digging into the public record, and he has located documents about the struggle between Governor Palin and her ex-brother-in-law, Trooper Wooten. They dug into his confidential workers' compensation and employee files, which appears to be a violation of the law. Also, in our third and final hour today, we may hear from the former governor of California. You will recall that Gray Davis was recalled And now the prison guards are circulating petitions threatening to recall the guy who won the recall. Send Arnold back to the movies? Gosh. That's a tough thought to contemplate. And also in the Free Speech Zone today, we're going to talk briefly with a candidate for Congress in Utah, Benyon Spencer. And he and his opponent are tangling over the Republicans' proposal to build tent cities and detain illegal immigrants. We'll talk about that and much more. You're always welcome to join the conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Paul Waldman joins me now, senior fellow there at Media Matters, co-author of the book Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And we had a chance to get together multiple events there in Denver a few weeks back. Paul, how are you today?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Katrina shared the email from me, and apparently your blood pressure's kind of up.
The reason that I'm a little agitated today has to do with some of the things that that John McCain and Sarah Palin are getting away with. I'm sure that you and I have talked about this before, about the question of honesty in campaigns and how the press, what role they have in policing the facts and in making sure that campaigns stay honest.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, and we can discuss them, some things that McCain and Palin are saying that are just flat-out lies. Now, when this happens, when a campaign gets up and tells a lie, every time it's a test for the press. It's like they are sticking a finger in the eye of the press corps and saying, I dare you to stop me from doing this again. And if the press doesn't step up, then the message to the candidate is going to be, you know what, there's no cost to this. I don't have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, candidates are only going to tell the truth if they're made to tell the truth. I mean, let's be honest here. They're playing a very high-stakes game, and if they don't have incentives to stay honest, they're not going to stay honest.
Now, wait just a minute here, Paul. Where is it in the Straight Talk Manifesto that the Straight Talk has to actually be true?
It just has to be straight?
Yeah, it's just straight. It's not true. You don't have to be honest. It's just straight.
I think you may have stumbled upon something important here, Peter. Because it's been really amazing. I mean, the thing people may have heard about already, which is just, it's so incredibly brazen, is what Sarah Palin keeps saying about the bridge to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here are the facts. The facts are that Sarah Palin was an advocate of the bridge to nowhere, which people know is this boondoggle of a project that Congress wanted to fund in Alaska.
Connecting
a few $100 million.
Connecting Ketchikan to an island with a very limited population, like under 100 people.
Right, and they had a ferry that worked perfectly well.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. When she was running for governor in 2006, she was an advocate for it. She applauded it. She said many times that she was for it. Then it began to get all this bad press and became kind of a symbol of ridiculous earmark projects that the people who represent Alaska in Congress are so good at procuring. At that point, when it became such a national laughingstock, she came out and said that they were no longer going to do it because Congress wasn't going to support it. She didn't come out and say it was a bad idea. She said, well, we're not getting the support we need in Congress. She still took the money, over $200 million, and then just put it to other projects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should say that anybody who knows anything about Alaska knows that, like nowhere else, Alaska suckles on the federal teat. They get well over $14,000 per person in federal spending. You and I and everybody else who lives in the lower 48 and Hawaii, we spend a lot of our tax dollars supporting the state of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Palin was as enthusiastic as anybody else in getting these kind of federal monies. So that's the facts about the bridge to nowhere. She supported it, and then when it became a liability, a political liability, she pulled her support for it, but took the money anyway and just put it to other things. Now she's on the stump. She said this at her when they announced that she was going to be the VP candidate. She said it in her her acceptance speech at the convention, and she said it literally every single time she has appeared in public. She has this line where she says, "I told Congress thanks but no thanks to that bridge to nowhere."
Yep.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different words that reporters use to describe deception, but we can call this by its true name. That is a lie. And it's been debunked in a number of press reports. They have said, a whole range of news organizations have said, this is what Palin says, and it's just not true. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been many other press reports that have said, well, the Obama campaign says it's not true, or she's stretching the truth a little bit, or it's not completely accurate, but the fact is it's just a lie. It's been pointed out to be a lie, and yet she continues to say it. It's almost as though she's challenging reporters to say, you know what, go ahead, I dare you to call me a liar. Well, maybe it's time somebody did.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other memes that they are promoting is that she has stood up even to Republican leaders. And so, for example, it is fair to say that she took on the Murkowski family and knocked off Frank, the former senator who was completing his first term as governor of Alaska. They use that to, like she's got all of these pelts, from her hunting outings, and, that this is the skin that she can claim as part of her reformer maverick status. But she hasn't said diddly about Ted Stevens, the pork barrel fueled senior senator of Alaska who sponsored the Bridge to Nowhere and hundreds of other projects, including the millions of dollars that were showered on Wasilla when Sarah Palin was mayor there. So when do you think she will actually break silence on the Ted Stevens case? Because that's going to be rather prominent over the fall election campaign.
Well, I suspect that she's going to say that she was his opponent if what she's done so far is any guide. But the fact is that she actually ran a 527 independent group that was set up to support Ted Stevens. But, no doubt she'll say that she was an opponent of all that. And you're right, she ran in the primary against an incumbent Republican and knocked him off. But that doesn't mean that she's somehow an opponent of Republicans. But interestingly enough, the...
No, and what they're doing is turning opportunism into some branded leadership.
Yeah, and the latest McCain... Ed says that she took on, that she took on Republicans, and it says that McCain took on Republicans. Obviously, they're not all that happy about being associated with their party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that she'll come up with some version of that story. Now, if we want to go on to another lie that John McCain is telling, he came up with a new one today that's really quite extraordinary. He came out and claimed that Barack Obama had told left-wing supporters during the primary that he was going to cut defense spending. And McCain further said that Barack Obama said he was going to cut spending for future combat systems. Well, the truth is that those are two lies in one. Obama didn't say he was going to cut defense spending. Maybe, I'm sure there are many people listening who think it should be cut, but the fact is Obama said that he was going to cut some wasteful spending in the Pentagon, but that he was going to increase spending overall. And the future combat systems is really something that I think would warm the cockles of Karl Rove and Lee Atwater's heart. McCain comes out and says, oh, Obama said he was going to cut spending for future combat systems. And I'm sure people in the audience said, wow, he wants to cut our ability to have combat systems in the future? That's terrible. He wants to eviscerate our defense. Well, it turns out there's something called Future Combat Systems, with capital letters, that is a program that is about basically like robot warriors and things like that, that the people across the political spectrum acknowledge as a boondoggle. And guess who's one of the people who has criticized it in the past?
Oh, maybe.
John McCain! So now he's claiming that somehow means that that he wants people to think that it means that Obama just wants to cut spending for our ability to fight wars in the future. It's unbelievable, and the big question is, are reporters going to let McCain get away with it?
Probably. I wish the answer were different, but we see a media that is more interested in access. And Charlie Gibson is setting the pattern. He's the first who's been given access to Governor Palin. And I'll bet he'll ask her about his capital gains tax problems and maybe some hunting questions. But I'll bet that's not going to be a real tough interview, and it may set the tone for others to come. We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. Pick up the book he co-authored with David Brock. It's called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And if you want to comment, I want to hear it. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And drop by airamerica.com this week, where I'm the guest blogger. I've been feverishly cracking away. Hope you enjoy it.
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Game one of the season is this Friday at MPC College, 6:30 airtime, as Aptos and the Monterey Toreadors take to the field.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
We lie whenever we want to.
And often, too.
Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
Yes, they've run the country into the ground, and now John McCain and Sarah Palin are running against their own political party. They're running against Washington. They're running against their own legacy, and they will say anything, anywhere. And the truth, well, it's a relic. Paul Waldman with us from Media Matters. And, Paul, there is a little bit of good news. There's a liberal who got a TV show. And, of course, Fox has sized it up as a dangerous lib lesbian from Air America who is now on MSNBC. The Rachel Maddow show debuted last night, and I was pleased it wasn't loaded up with all those, phony whooshes and, cartoon graphics and that kind of thing. And so I'm hopeful that these attacks on the liberal media will actually bear some fruit because there is a liberal in the media for a change.
Well, if you want to get your daily supply of whooshes, you have to go over to Fox. They love the whoosh.
Yeah, they do.
I have to say, it's kind of amazing that I'm still a little shocked that they actually gave Rachel Maddow her own show, not just because she's a liberal, and not just because she's a woman, and not just because she doesn't come off like some bubbly cheerleader like all the women on Fox, but because she actually seems to have gotten that job based on merit. I mean, for months now, everybody I know has been talking about how she's obviously the smartest and most talented person that appears on television. I think that lots and lots of people acknowledge that. But despite that, despite being actually the smartest and most talented person on television, they actually gave her own show. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It really is something amazing. Now, a lot of people on the right talk about how MSNBC, they just decided that they're going to become the liberal alternative to Fox. Well, if they were going to do that, the first thing they'd do is eliminate the 3 hours every day that they give to Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman, and strong conservative.
I would like them to boot Pat Buchanan off the bleachers there. And I wrote in a blog post that's up at AirAmerica.com watching last night. Rachel's show was going along great, and then they injected Pat. And he was just, using old talking points, this kind of old-time religion as a way of trying to defend Sarah Palin. And when he was running out of gas, he had to invoke Reverend Wright and Barack Obama. It was just amazing, and I don't know why they insist on putting him on every one of their political shows.
Well, I think in the case of Maddow, they probably figured that the two of them had a good rapport. They've faced off against each other many times on other programs on MSNBC. And one of the things that was so impressive about Rachel Maddow was that she would get right in and go toe-to-toe with Pat Buchanan and not take any guff from him.
Yeah.
So it's possible that at MSNBC they figured, well, we've got a good little sparring match going here. We'll just let them go at it. We'll have to see how that show develops and what kind of audience it sustains and how the show changes over time. They've only been on for one night. But who knows? Maybe they'll if they want to bring on a conservative, they'll bring on somebody who's a little more of a fresh face.
6 p.m. Pacific time, and TiVo or recorded if you need to. But do spread the word, because I would love to see her thrive in the ratings and continue on television. Paul, you're kind of the point man at Media Matters for trying to keep Jerome Corsi honest. He's the guy who published an abomination of a book called Obama Nation. And already they have quietly tidied it up with 11 corrections, all based on some of the criticisms that you and the Obama campaign put forward.
Yeah, they haven't corrected everything, but they put out a series of corrections, even as Corsi is out there claiming that that no one has proved any falsehoods. He's already correcting some of the falsehoods. I think by this time we can count this as a success. 4 years ago, Jerome Corsi came out with this dossier of lies against John Kerry, and it had an enormous political impact. This time, he was so discredited once people began to look into what he was writing and who he was that it didn't have nearly the impact, I think. And I think that success is attributable to a lot of things, including, I have to say, in this case, the press was much more skeptical much more quickly than they were last time. So I have to give them some credit.
Not Sean.
No, not over on Fox. That's true. They've been doing their best to promote his book.
Well, and I want to give you credit because I was a little queasy about the tactic of attacking him before he was actually established with the themes of the book. But I actually think it was a good tactic, and I hope that Obama and other Democrats will look at that and see how they need to respond vigorously and right away to these kind of scurrilous attacks.
Yeah, I hope they do, and I think that should always be the case, whether you're in an election or not, that people who come out and just lie about anyone, even a political figure, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.
Paul Waldman, Media Matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Infant mortality is an important gauge of the quality of a country's health care. Sad to say, among the industrial nations of the world, the United States ranks 29th. That's not just embarrassing, it's disgraceful. And in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where the infant mortality rate is double the national average, an 81-year-old woman named Ruth Lubick runs a team of midwives in a birthing clinic. They give prenatal training and have delivered 800 babies without losing a single one in childbirth. A visit with Ruth Lubick after this. Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people over age 60 is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? This doesn't happen overnight, but in some people it can develop quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, see an eye doctor. Get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews visited Ruth Lubick and her team of midwives for an Eye on Health report last night on the CBS Evening News.
You're saving a lot of lives here.
Saving lives and also increasing the quality of life.
Her approach is simple. She believes low-income women, many on Medicaid, need the prenatal education that midwives provide. Everything from posture to nutrition to how the baby grows. Anike Oliver, who just had a baby boy, Yukama, said she got more time with the midwives than she had with a doctor.
They wanted to make sure I had as much information as they did.
What's the secret of her success?
Do you think it boils down to the time you spend with them?
I think so. I'm convinced that that's what it is. It's time, it's respect, it's treating people with dignity.
Ruth runs the clinic during the week and runs home most weekends to her husband in New York City. Pretty amazing for someone 81.
You could be retired.
I'm not tired the first time, much less retired. I'm insufferable because of my belief that what I'm doing is the right thing to do.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never liked them.
only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies,
it's time.
It's time to go home to take our boys away.
Big Michael Franti and Spearhead did that free all-day concert in Golden Gate Park last weekend, and Nick was there. Nick's our assistant producer, taking your calls today at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, every now and then, I need a reality check about Iraq, because the spin and the propaganda get so thick that it's really hard to parse the difference between reality and the perception management efforts of the Bush administration. So today, the president went on television and confirmed in a brief speech what we knew from a leaked video conference last week. And that is that he has accepted the recommendation of the generals on the ground in Iraq, as he always has. Of course, he's fired generals to make sure he could get a general who'd give him the recommendations he wanted, like Petraeus and the surge. But he announced that we are so successful in Iraq that we can't bring any troops home right now, and that the return on success, that's the phrase they've coined, will lead to about 8,000 American troops leaving Iraq in the early months of next year. But will they come home? It's not likely. They will probably be surged into Afghanistan. And so for a reality check, we turn to Dar Jamail, independent reporter who was unembedded in Iraq on his many visits there. He published Beyond the Green Zone, dispatches from an unembedded journalist in occupied Iraq. And he's now at a secret location deep in the heart of Texas working on his next book. Hey, Dar.
Hi, Peter. Great to be with you again.
Well, it's nice to have you with us, and I desperately need this reality check, because here we have this claim that things are so much better in Iraq, that the surge has worked. They never prove that. They just assert it. And now Obama has bitten and is using that phrase. Bill O'Reilly pushed him over the edge last week. And so on the one hand, they tell us the surge has worked and things are so much better in Iraq. But I judge actions much more than words. And if we were as successful as Bush and McCain want us to believe, we would be bringing American troops home from Iraq today, right now. And so, Dar, help me out here. Where does the truth lie, and where do the lies conflict with the truth?
Well, let's start with the rhetoric around the 8,000 troops, because I agree with you. My policy is always let's watch actions rather than words. And this strategy, especially now, timed in the wake of the RNC and, of course, with the, you know, in the final stretch of these last couple of months before the elections, in saying this rhetoric of 8,000 troops coming home, I'm actually working on a piece right now for Extra Magazine, a product of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, about how many times this same tactic has been used throughout almost the entire occupation. I can't remember, and I will tally up some numbers, but it's been many, many times that this same tactic, kind of holding this carrot out there. Well, things are better. We probably will be able to bring some troops home if conditions stay the same a couple of months from now. And it's amazing where even just in the last 48 hours, Bush has gone from saying, yes, we're going to be bringing troops home for sure, to, well, we're going to bring 8,000 home maybe in February if conditions allow it, you know. And the reality is that things in Iraq right now today, while we don't have the overt violence at levels that we had, say, during February 2006 and the months after that, where we had literally thousands and thousands of Iraqis and dozens of American troops being killed every single month, that really the situation, the volatility has kind of gone below ground. But politically, I think that it's a much more dangerous situation now than ever before. And I say that for two main reasons, and at the root of both of them is the Bush policy on the ground in Iraq. First of all, let's talk about a situation with Kirkuk, where we have a an upcoming battle for control of Kirkuk, where the Kurds, who the U.S. has supported from the very beginning of the invasion, are moving to take control of Kirkuk as part of a greater Kurdistan, because that's where all the oil is. On the other side, we have a situation where if the Kurds make this move, which they trust would be supported by the U.S., which I think probably wouldn't happen, but if they make this move, then we're going to see a situation that unites the Sunni and the Shia against the Kurd, which would be something we haven't seen yet in the occupation. This would be civil war on a level that we haven't even seen, even compared to in the early spring 2006, where it was so extremely violent. The other situation is we have the upcoming elections. Right now, the Iraqi government is hoping to have these in January, and that's why there's a relative calm, at least in the violence front for now, because people are jockeying for position, making deals behind the scenes. But while all this is going on, the other main situation I think is critical that people understand is the U.S. has formed this Sunni militia called the Sahwa, or the Awakening Groups, 100,000-strong man militia, every one of them being paid $300 a month in U.S. taxpayer money, literally to not attack Americans.
Yeah.
And these are all, even according to the U.S. military, former resistance fighters. Most of them are. And now these are being absorbed into the Iraqi government, but the government doesn't want to absorb all of them. So there's a huge brewing conflict here. What happens to the tens of thousands of these men who are promised government jobs who aren't going to get them? Well, they're certainly not going to take kindly to that, and they're certainly seeming very likely that they'll be turning their guns against the Americans once again. And actually, many of the Sahwa leaders over the last couple of weeks have said as much. So this is a kind of a basis of the political situation on the ground today in Iraq. It's extremely volatile, and it looks like, no big surprise here, Peter, that it's likely to explode in the few months to come in the wake of the elections here in November.
And Dara, I share your concern about this effort to try to integrate the Sunni Awakening Council members into the Iraqi army and police force, which are controlled and dominated by Shiites. And there's another part that is kind of off the discussion agenda these days, which is that the Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr is still there. They have stood down, and they are, you know, kind of melted into the background. But they will have to be dealt with, either disarmed or merged into this, you know, army and police force of the central government. And that's another transition that is very hard to predict and is not likely to occur until the, you know, last U.S. tank has been seen crossing into the Kuwait border.
Well, you're exactly right. It's not likely to occur until the occupation ends, and Muqtada al-Sadr has said as much. And it's interesting. I actually had a long conversation just yesterday with a colleague who just came out of Iraq because we're coordinating plans to go back in there soon. And he told me that after interviewing many leaders of Sadr's militia just a few weeks ago, that he said that actually Muqtada al-Sadr is now reforming his militia, in fact his entire movement, around the Hezbollah model, which has been so successful in South Lebanon, whereas he is restructuring the militia to have just an elite force that is solely responsible for carrying out attacks against occupation forces, and then the rest of the movement is going to be designed into local politics, national politics, aid programs to bring in more people. This is a very successful model that has worked for Hezbollah. It's already worked, even in its infancy stages, now in Iraq under Muqtada al-Sadr. This model has been very successful in building his movement to what is now arguably the largest, most powerful political movement in the country. So he is in a process of retooling right now. I think another important question is how long will this take? And we'll keep our eyes on that, because certainly there are Mahdi Army members that are continuing to carry out attacks against occupation forces, and this is at a time when Sadr has banned that and said this will not happen on my watch. So then what happens when this retooling is complete and Sadr gives them the green light once again?
And what's the current status of the other major militia, the Badr Brigade, BADR, which is under the control of Skiri, right, the Supreme Council of Islamic Revolution?
Right. Right, which was actually renamed the SAIC, the Supreme Islamic Iraqi Council, the Badr Army, they renamed that the Badr Organization because you're not supposed to have a militia in Iraq. So there's all these name changes going on that we have to try to keep up with. But basically the Badr militia is the armed wing of SAIC. They are responsible for protecting the politicos of that movement and some of the religious leaders, in fact, of that movement. But this is a group that has basically been successfully incorporated into the Iraqi military. And I would say successfully, I would put that in quotes, because, of course, they're not allowed to have militias as part of the government security apparatus. But nevertheless, there you have it. When you have their political and religious leaders in power positions in the government, well, then their militia is going to be fully incorporated, enjoying the paychecks and the benefits of being part of the Iraqi security forces. So they essentially are wearing two hats, the members of the Badr organization. One is, of course, their first loyalty is always to the militia, of which they are a part of. But then also, secondly, they will be wearing Iraqi police uniforms or Iraqi army uniforms, depending on how they're being deployed.
We're talking with Dar Jamail here on the Peter B. Collins Show, independent reporter, journalist, and his website, easier than ever to get to. It's just his first name, D-A-H-R, dar.org. And if you have a question or comment, now's the time to call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Dar, I just want to get your comment on the reflex that we're seeing of both McCain and Obama, that they just assume that everybody's on board with a plan to put more U.S. troops into Afghanistan. And I have great concerns about this. I believe it's a repetition of the thoughtless insertion of troops into police actions in Iraq. And while we don't have the same kind of potential civil war in Afghanistan, the collusion between the warlords and the Pakistani military that was detailed in this past Sunday's New York Times magazine is just another indication of how shaky things are in Afghanistan and how inserting more American troops and expanding that occupation without a defined mission, without a clear exit strategy, is really just asking for another mire down in, like the one in Iraq.
It's amazing to me, Peter, that they can even contemplate sending more troops into either Afghanistan or opening up yet another front in a place like Pakistan, which is, to call it volatile is to be diplomatic. It's kicking off as we speak. And what's interesting to me, watching all of this go down, I'm actually down here in Texas working on finishing up a book that's about resistance within the military against the occupation of Iraq. I've interviewed scores and scores of veterans. Some active duty, some that are in the individual ready reserve, some that have gotten out of the military altogether. And it's one story after another of people that have served a tour in Iraq, then a tour in Afghanistan, and then another tour back in Iraq, people serving three, four, sometimes even five tours in one or both of these combat zones. And they're quitting. They're just not re-signing contracts. They're going AWOL. The dissent is in the ranks. And this is where, if it weren't for them using mercenaries, people like Blackwater employees, Dying Corps, other groups like this, to fill the void, because there's more private contractors in Iraq now, not all of them mercenaries, but there's more private contractors in Iraq than there are U.S. military, by about 50,000. And if it weren't for private contractors, this just simply wouldn't be possible. We would have to have a draft. And so the question is, at what point does the military start to fall apart? That's been asked, and I'm here to tell you, after doing loads of research on this book that I'm working on, is that it is in a state of collapse. The question is not if it does completely just disintegrate, but when. It is in a process of disintegration where we have had 80,000 people go AWOL. That includes people who have gone AWOL for just one day or people that have gone AWOL and stay AWOL as we speak. But 80,000 so far, we have over 60,000 casualties just from the Iraq War alone. The Pentagon, of course, is very smart in dividing that up into three different categories to try to keep the number down. But it's just really... And then we have ongoing numbers of literally one unit after another that are refusing orders and getting away with it because it won't be, the military doesn't want to report it because they don't want this information getting out. The I could go on for an hour.
Yeah, I'll just add that the suicide rate among active service members and those returning from combat duty continues to escalate.
That's right. The Army just came out with a story just a couple of days ago showing that we are on track this year to set yet another all-time record for suicides in Iraq. And this is another way that people are expressing dissent, to put it mildly, but just another indicator of how the military is in a state of collapse.
Dar Jamil, what's your new book called? When's it going to be out?
Well, the title's still in the works, but it is basically on dissent in the ranks in the military against the occupation of Iraq, and it is scheduled to come out this coming spring.
Okay, great. We'll continue in just a moment. Dar Jamil with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 11 minutes in front of the hour.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. And I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
This hour by MendingAmerica.com. Stop in, check out the t-shirts, the note cards, and the deeper messages. And support Daniel if you can. That's MendingAmerica.com. We continue now with journalist Dar Jamil talking about the situation in Iraq. And Dar, for the first time today, the New York Times published some interesting letters to the editor, or at least their comments from actual Iraqis, under an analysis piece written by Stephen Farrell, Should U.S. Forces Withdraw from Iraq? And it's interesting because we rarely hear Iraqi perspectives. And it kind of covers the range here. Here's a 38-year-old restaurant worker in Baghdad. I don't expect that the Americans will leave because they reach the maximum level of political influence in the region. America is controlling the future of energy, so I believe it's not to America's benefit for it to leave Iraq. Here's a 50-year-old painter in Bakuba. America will not leave Iraq. I think my grandson's grandsons will watch Uncle Sam and his blue jeans. Here's a 60-year-old retired Army officer in Fallujah. I expect the Americans will leave Iraq sooner or later because they can't control the security situation. I expect their departure within the next few months because of the achievements of the Iraqi security forces and the awakening in terms of security and stability. That'll help the American forces leave Iraq and save the rest of their dignity before the situation turns bad again like it did between 04 and 05. Now, putting aside the novelty of this, we have the clear message from al-Maliki that he wants a timeline for American departure from Iraq, and the Bush administration seems to keep playing games with the negotiations over a sofa or even a napkin agreement.
Well, what we're seeing played out in Iraq on the ground politically right now is a battle for control between Iran and the United States. Both countries, of course, having very heavy hands in the country, obviously the heavier being that of the United States. But Maliki, you know, let's not forget, this is a man who spent years of exile in Tehran, leader of the Dawa Party, which is from Iran, basically controls the Badr organization, which is also the militia from Iran. So Iran's playing a very big role. They're scoring new business deals with the Iraqi government on almost a daily basis. They're supplying actually the brunt of the electricity now for Diyala province. So there is an ongoing battle for control between the U.S. and Iran. And this is why Maliki has found the fortitude and the spine to stand up more recently and start making these demands of total withdrawal. Now, we'll see what happens, because the fact is the U.S. is not going to withdraw ever. The U.S. Empire Project would collapse with the U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. Of course, they want to draw down the number of troops, but they have plans to keep at least four permanent mega enduring bases there indefinitely. You can read the National Security Strategy to find out more about those plans as well. It will be curious to see what happens regarding the Maliki administration, which is basically propped up by the United States, but is getting more power from Iran, and that's why we're seeing them standing up more to the Bush administration and demand these full, not just timetables, but set dates of total withdrawal. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next, say, 4 to 6 months, depending on how the U.S. is going to handle that, and even more specifically, how the next president is going to handle that.
Let's talk to Steve in Salinas. He appears to have a copy of your book, Dar. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hey, Dar, I just want to know, how did you ever sleep, and what was the longest you were over there for one time?
Oh, thanks, Stephen. The longest trip I was in Iraq was 3 months, and that was about 4 or 5 weeks too long. I think about 6-8 weeks of reporting on the front lines is about all that anyone should subject themselves to. But, yeah, working in Iraq, and that kind of ties in with the first question, you don't get a lot of sleep. It's very nerve-wracking. And then, of course, just, you know, being a foreign correspondent, you're taking radio calls at all hours of the day and night, and it's a bit stressful, to put it mildly. So it's hard but gratifying work, and I feel lucky that I've been able to do it and get to keep doing it, and I look forward to getting back over there within the next few months as soon as I finish this book.
Well, you know, I tell you what would be, a very hard-hitting deal to do is to, if you can get your hands on before pictures of certain parts of the country and then show what they look like now, today, I mean, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words for all the good that we're supposed to be doing over there. I can't imagine, what does Baghdad or what does the countryside look like? Is it just like post-World War II devastation?
That's a very interesting point, and that would actually be a valuable project, especially right now, because Baghdad, even compared to, say, the first year of the occupation, has undergone radical changes. Now, instead of mixed neighborhoods and no concrete barriers anywhere, the city's basically been completely segregated by massive walls built around entire neighborhoods.
Wait. Those
are Shia neighborhoods.
Those are gated communities.
Literally transformed because of the occupation.
Dar, I was trying to interrupt you there. Those are gated communities.
That's one way to look at it.
with awakening security guards because the Fruit of Islam wouldn't go there. Well, Dar, thank you very much. Good luck on completing your book, and let us know before you head back to the Middle East. We'd love to get a report from you before and maybe while you're over there.
Will do, Peter. Thanks a lot.
That's Dar Jamail. Visit his website, dahr.org. Coming up next, Jeff Cohen, advice for Rachel at MSNBC, and Kay Brown of the Alaska Democratic Party on Sarah the Maverick Reformer. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. President Bush announces a small drawdown in Iraq.
We've been able to carry out a policy of return on success.
Swing voters are swinging right.
Among those voters who've made their decision, more of them are going to John McCain.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush, speaking today at the National Defense University, claimed success in Iraq, saying it's less dangerous and more stable now. But he's leaving it to his successor to decide on big troop reductions. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
President Bush is ordering about 8,000 troops home from Iraq, but the U.S. presence there will remain close to pre-surge levels into the new administration. It will likely be Mr. Bush's final major decision on the war that has defined his presidency.
We have seized the offensive. Iraqi forces are becoming increasingly capable of leading and winning the fight.
But Mr. Bush again warned of a dangerous enemy in Iraq and a simmering situation in Afghanistan. More troops are headed there to take on the Taliban resurgence. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Barack Obama says the president's Iraq withdrawal plan comes up short.
In the war on terror is not in Iraq, and it never was. The central front is in Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the terrorists who hit us on 9/11 are still plotting attacks 7 years later.
John McCain also wants more troops in Afghanistan, but says the planned drawdown in Iraq demonstrates what success in our efforts there can look like.
Senator Obama has refused to acknowledge that he was wrong about the surge. He said it wouldn't succeed. Thanks to General David Petraeus and these brave young Americans, we are winning in Iraq, and we will come home with honor.
Now this.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
John McCain is benefiting more than Barack Obama as the undecided voters make up their minds. Sarah Dutton of our survey unit has the latest CBS News poll data.
31% of voters who were uncommitted last month have moved towards John McCain, and it may be that his choice of vice presidential running mate has had some influence there. A month ago, just 38% of these same voters who have now moved towards McCain said that the VP choice would be influential in their vote, but that's risen to 81% among those same voters now.
23% of the undecideds have moved toward Obama, but 45% are still on the fence. After raking Cuba, Hurricane Ike has emerged in the warm, open waters of the Gulf of Mexico, where it could strengthen to a major hurricane as it heads for the U.S. Gulf Coast. CBS News reporter Portia Siegelbaum in Havana says at least four Cubans died in the storm.
74-year-old woman went to lose the roof of her house in, and it collapsed on top of her. And in another case, 127-mile-an-hour gust from Ike knocked over a tree, fell into a man's house, and crushed him.
And two men were killed as they tried to remove an antenna from a roof. Despite the threat to Gulf oil production, the price of oil fell to $103 a barrel today after OPEC's president said the cartel is not likely to reduce output. James Cordier, president of the Liberty Trading Group, follows the oil market.
I would say sometime in the beginning of the fourth quarter, we're going to be looking at oil well under 100. If we break below 100, we should fall to 90 immediately.
Lance Armstrong made a comeback from testicular cancer to win his seventh Tour de France.
Vive la Tour. Forever. Thank you.
Now he's making a comeback from retirement. Armstrong confirmed this afternoon that he'll try for number 8. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan says this comes as no surprise to those who know Armstrong.
Well, in talking to people close to Lance, he's been in secret training, so to speak, for months now in the hills of Austin, Texas, near his home.
Last month, he placed second in a 100-mile mountain bike race through the Colorado Rockies. Armstrong says he'll return to France to lead a global fight against cancer. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no, I'm silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the U.S. 4x100 relay team won the gold in a blistering 37.61 seconds. You, on the other hand, managed to strain your calf muscle in just 0.61 seconds, celebrating a touchdown in your last flag football game. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes.
Oh, and they're in Distractomatic high gear now.
Chess when the house is a mess, or a big money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets.
That's a reading from the book of Timbuktu.
Another song and dance, another poor sucker who's never had a chance.
Later this hour, we're going to find out more about Sarah Palin from Kay Brown, a member of the Alaska Democratic Party, a former legislator there in the Yukon state. Also, Jason Leopold will be with us later this hour from the Public Record, pubrecord.org, and he's been going through public documents about the battle between Sarah Palin and her former brother-in-law, Trooper Wooten. And they went into his confidential employee files and into a workers' comp claim and a few other things. So we'll get the details on that a little bit later this hour. But first, Jeff Cohen returns to our program. His most recent book is Cable News Confidential, which details his work at MSNBC and the ill-fated Phil Donahue show about 4 years ago. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
I wanted to ask you on today because I'm just so delighted that there's a liberal in the liberal media.
You mean Rachel?
Rachel Maddow. They allowed her to launch her show on MSNBC.
First openly gay host of a news program that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
On network TV. I watched it. As always, they have Rachel doing mostly horse race. What's the analysis of the latest polls, the latest strategy from the campaigns? Rachel is actually a policy wonk. She's quite a student of various issues, but that's not what they want on TV news. The best part of the show, for the parts that I saw, was a debate with Pat Buchanan.
That was the worst part for me.
No, I loved it.
I thought Rachel handled him quite well, and I don't have any qualms about her chops in that respect.
Right.
But I wrote I'm guest blogging at airamerica.com this week, and I wrote a thing about that because I keep scratching my head every time Pat Buchanan appears on MSNBC. He must have a killer contract, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Remember, Peter, when I was there, they had quotas, and they're especially afraid. Like, Rachel doesn't have any power yet except that Oberman is supporting her.
Mm-hmm.
But independently, intrinsically, I don't think she's got any power. It's General Electric's network.
Right.
And when we were there, of course, it was a different environment, and we were constantly hounded by management. The thing they were most worried about is that we wouldn't have enough right-wingers on the show. And by the end of Donahue, you remember, they mandated that if we had someone on the left, we had to have two on the right. If we had two anti-war, we had to have three pro-war.
And with Michael Moore, you had to have a dozen people,
yeah,
right?
No, that's with Chomsky. No, yeah, with Michael Moore, seriously, a producer said that she was thinking of booking Michael Moore, and she was told for political balance she'd have to have three right-wingers. So that's not a joke. It happened. So, I mean, when I saw Buchanan there, I knew what he was doing there. But it brought back to me that, you know, when I was at CNN, I occasionally co-hosted Crossfire, and it was a real serious show. I mean, compared to what we have now, Crossfire a dozen years ago was a serious, substantive show they debated policy every single day. And you just don't have that anymore. And Rachel, I've seen her for probably 20 hours on TV, and I would guess that 19 of them were discussing tactics and horse race and polls and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 1 hour was policy, and she is quite an articulate, passionate advocate for progressive causes, but that's just not the role they want her to play, that's for sure.
Well, Jeff Cohen, what I found interesting was that the worst of MSNBC was not there. We didn't have the kind of water cooler stuff and the really short 5-minute segments that Olbermann has.
Right.
With all, you know, he always has morons and Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay for a minute, but I think it distracts from the real value that Keith brings. And then the other dreck was that Race for the White House show, where once again Pat Buchanan had to appear every day with a rotating cast of other characters. And that was all about the horse race and all about production values and whooshes and sounders and all that stuff. And Rachel's show, at least the first episode, was refreshingly free of that crap.
Yeah. Yeah, again, we'll have to see. I can imagine what management's fears. You know, they pulled Oberman and Matthews off of the anchoring. That's not necessarily a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, especially Oberman, is an advocate, and there's no reason to have him as an anchor. He clearly supports one ticket over another ticket.
Yeah, but it was interesting, too, because he was the adult supervision for Chris Matthews.
I know. I know. Again, you know, when I was there, I mean, I'll never forgive Matthews. When we were there, he resented Phil Donahue. He wanted us off the air from before we were on the air. And that's when Chris Matthews had a lot of power. Despite never really getting any ratings, Matthews was always the fair-haired boy at MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the beauty of Oberman. I knew, and I've been proven right in all my debates with the top management of that channel, that if they let a progressive show happen, it would get ratings. And Oberman has proven it. And so Oberman's got a certain amount of clout there, but I just feel that Rachel, she's got Oberman's, you know, umbrella extended for her, But right now, I can't imagine she's calling a lot of shots. I bet they're telling her a lot what she's got to do and that she has to have Buchanan, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And so I asked you this a little bit when we met at the Obama coronation at Mile High Stadium in Denver. But what advice do you offer to her for navigating the shoals there in the corporate media? And, you know, we have General Electric is not a passive player in American politics.
No.
And so at a certain point, she's going to strike a nerve, and a memo will come down from General Electric. And how's she going to handle that? What kind of tactics can you use to survive in a situation like that, Jeff?
Well, you got to be deft. I mean, I think she needs outside support. I would encourage her. When I was there with Donahue, they wouldn't let us take out ads for our show in the Nation magazine because they said we might not appear balanced. And I said, we're going up against Bill O'Reilly and Fox News.
Yeah.
When Fox News started, all they did was take out ads on Limbaugh's show. And do you want us to compete or not? I mean, I would encourage her to just keep going anywhere she can to bring progressive viewers to that show. I mean, she's got to show some numbers. She's got to hang on to some of Oberman's numbers and viewers. And I think the way to do that is you just got to keep getting out there despite they may be trying to hem her in. Anywhere she can appear on radio, any article she can write, any article that can be written about her, we need viewers to go to that show and support that show, and that's the kind of thing that they did. You know, can you imagine management of a TV channel not letting us build up our ratings? And remember, when Oberman was starting, hosting his show in 03, he didn't step out of line. He didn't express qualms about the war.
Yeah.
One would have gotten the impression in the first period of Oberman that he was like every other host and every other cable news channel. But he waited for his opening and he saw the popularity of Bush and the popularity of the war go down the toilet. And that's when he started calibrating and getting louder in his criticisms. But Oberman himself went on C-SPAN, I think it was in 2005, and said in the first half year or year of his hosting, he had on Janine Garofalo on one show, and a couple days later she had Al Franken, and management came over to Oberman and said, hey, what's with all the liberal guests? So, you know, I know things have changed in the last couple years, but, you know, trust me, there's management over there. If they get a few cranky letters from right-wingers or if they keep getting this coverage in mainstream daily saying that, you know, MSNBC is left-wing, that just scares the hell out of the management, which is handpicked by General Electric.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, it's going to be very interesting, and I do want people to spread the word.
Yes.
It's on at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern, Rachel Maddow, and we need to support her in these early stages because that will strengthen her hand as, you know, her coterie of regulars is developed, and, you know, maybe we can get them to give Pat Buchanan a rest.
Well, do you see, they had a segment with Rosa Brooks of the LA Times, a great progressive columnist.
I did, yeah.
And that really struck me as, wow, that's good. That's different.
Yeah, it wasn't just a retread Howard Fineman, you know.
Right, right. Now, they were talking purely tactics in that segment.
Yeah.
Rosa Brooks is really great on civil liberty. She's great. You know, she's a real informed commentator on issues, and she didn't do any informed commentating on anything but the horse race. But again, just the fact that she had Rosa Brooks there was really exceptional, very unique. And you're right, people should be contacting MSNBC immediately and saying, hey, I'm watching your channel because you got this Rachel Maddow show started.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, Jeff, thanks for joining us today. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
His book is Cable News Confidential. And here he is, the hardest working man in show business until he died. And this one's for Rachel today.
There's a man.
We'll take a break and return on the Peter B. Collins Show. Kay Brown will join me from the Alaska Democratic Party. We'll talk about Sarah Palin, the maverick reformer who was against the bridge to nowhere, after it clearly was a dead issue. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas reminds everyone, when taking to the roads, drive carefully and watch out for our children. They're not always aware of danger. If you're near a park, playground, or residential area and see a child or group of children, please reduce your speed. Your awareness is our hope, and a child's safety depends on it. This message is courtesy of Serve Aero Engineering Incorporated in Salinas. Proud to help make a difference. Wishing kids a great, productive school year.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Big problem in Salinas. A little bit better now. Eastbound 68 after Portola Drive. This was near Toro Park. We had a three-car head-on injury accident that's now been moved out of the way. Traffic may still be heavily backed up in both directions. Also, 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard in Salinas. We have various lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete barrier that will cause some delays. For Greenfield, North 101 after Oak Avenue, Big Rig dropped heads of lettuce and boxes in the roadway. CHP is going to run a traffic break to try to get some of that moved out of the way. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking, installing accident-free. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect. Only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 10 minutes away, our weekly visit with reporter Jason Leopold from the Public Record. That's pubrecord.org on the web. And he's been digging into this dispute between Governor Sarah Palin and her ex-brother-in-law, Trooper Wooten. And he'll reveal the interception of, or the illegal access of the workers' comp file and other records of Mr. Wooten as an employee of the state of Alaska. Joining us now to tell us more about Sarah Palin is Kay Brown. She's communications director for the Alaska Democratic Party. She served in the legislature there, their House of Representatives, for 10 years, and was also the state of Alaska's director of oil and gas. Drill, baby, drill. Kay, welcome to our program today.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to talk with you. And let me just start off with that refrain about drill, baby, drill. Are Alaskans just in favor of drilling anywhere, everywhere, and all the time? That's the impression that Governor Palin wants us in the lower 48 to believe.
Well, like anything else, I think there are a variety of opinions. There's no monolith about what Alaskans think. Certainly a lot of Alaskans want to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, an onshore area in the northern part of our state. I think many Democrats favor that as well, and but the electorate is certainly not unanimous about it. The feeling is that we in Alaska have had a lot of experience with doing development in an environmentally sensitive way, and that this could be done in a way that would be okay for the environment, but it would be a pretty small footprint, and that
it wouldn't produce any significant output, and it certainly wouldn't be there to help us with the price crunch that we have right now. And that's my beef, is that, you know, it's being represented that drilling offshore, drilling in Anwar, can produce more oil and lower prices in the near term, and that's simply not true.
Well, I think there are many things that we need to do as a country to get ourselves off this dependence on foreign oil. Certainly, Alaskans, or lots of Alaskans, think that drilling more domestic oil is one piece of the picture. And long term, we need to get off oil. We need to go to cleaner fuels. We need to have renewable energy. And Alaskans are also very interested in development of our natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all about the Arctic Refuge, but that is one promising place where we could, as a country, go to get some additional domestic oil.
Now, Kay, tell me, in your view, what are the most important things about Sarah Palin that have not yet made it into the media? What do we need to know about her service as governor and, prior to that, mayor of Wasilla?
Well, there's certainly a lot making its way into the media. We've just been flooded here with requests, and there are lots of national reporters who are here in Anchorage and in Wasilla and in Juneau looking under every stone and, you know, trying to uncover information about Governor Palin, who is not very well known in the national arena. In terms of her perception, I think a lot of Alaskans are support, you know, well, there's good feelings. Some people have a very positive feeling about it. You know, there's a lot of pride. But also, I think there are many Alaskans who are feeling like, what is this about? It was very much a shock to a lot of people to find out that she had been elevated to this position. She is not the reformer, really, that is being painted out there, particularly with respect to this topic of earmarks, mm-hmm. where she said, you know, the thanks but no thanks, we'll build it ourselves. Well, everybody's rolling their eyes about that.
But will people explicitly call her a liar? I mean, it is, you know, she's playing fast and loose with the truth there.
Well, the reality is, I think, that she has to toe the line of the national campaign now. Alaska is very dependent on federal money. And I would say a lot of Alaskans, most Alaskans, recognize that we are a very small population in a huge, huge area, larger than all the other states.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have very much infrastructure. A lot of the area of Alaska is roadless. We are a young state in respect to having a lot of the things that many other states already have. In a lot of our villages, we don't have sewer and water.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many needs for infrastructure development and things to be done, to be built here, to catch us up with the rest of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, Alaskans view federal money coming into the state as a positive thing in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly one of the big drivers of our economy. And for Sarah Palin to now take the position that she opposed all of this and that she has fought for reform of that doesn't really square up with what we know to be the case.
Kay Brown, Alaska Democratic Party, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Palin-McCain ticket continues to pack them in. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. And Sarah Palin is doing especially well, would you believe it, with men. 62% favorable rating. One suspects it might not just be her aversion to earmarks. Not that there's anything wrong with being attractive. Obama still makes him swoon, too. Another young woman passed out at a rally over the weekend. He had to throw her some water. But can we just take a moment to get back to the issues? Like federal spending. Palin says Obama is the king of earmarks.
In just 3 years, our opponent has requested nearly $1 billion in earmarks. That's about $1 million for every working day.
Sounds like she disapproves, except back when she was running for governor, she was saying stuff like this.
I'm going to fight hard with our federal delegation for the federal financial support of our infrastructure that Alaska deserves.
She clearly is not opposed to federal money for local transportation projects. And PolitiFact.com, the political fact-checking service, today labeled the latest ad for Sarah Palin, quote, barely true, for claiming she stopped Alaska's infamous Bridge to Nowhere. It was Congress that took the bridge off the list, and even then Palin kept the money, which the state just earmarked for other transportation projects. Which is basically the way she promised to handle the uproar over federal earmarks back in 2006.
We should find a real diplomatic and supportable way to go about requesting those federal funds.
You see, the way to get rid of earmarks once and for all is not to call them earmarks. Now this.
Did you know that Geico insures more than cars? It's true. They cover tons of other things like hot air balloons, unicycles, and roller skates. Nah, I'm just messing with you. But Geico can help insure lots of other vehicles, though, like motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, personal watercraft, boats, and pogo sticks. I'm only kidding about the pogo sticks, but seriously, just so there's no confusion, Geico now offers insurance on more than just your car.
Geico, saving you money on insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Got this new song about Sarah Palin for you. Oh, hold on a minute. I just stepped on the vocal, and we can't have that. This is Roy Zimmerman, my buddy, channeling Bobby Zimmerman.
John McCain chose a running mate. He chose the most qualified, cause he looked at his shortlist and said, she's the least tall. If I'd had to predict which one he'd have picked, she's the one. Sarah Palin comparison. She spent 20 long months as Alaska's governor, 9 of those months with a bun in the oven. Her publicist said she was tested and ready to run. Sarah Palin comparison.
Jason Leopold joins us now. He's the investigative journalist who worked for Dow Jones and the L.A. Times, truthout.org, and now publishes at his own independent journalism nonprofit website called pubrecord.org, the public record, www.pubrecord.org. And he's been dumpster diving again into public records up in Alaska. Jason, how are you today?
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. And, gosh, your latest article has another fascinating look at the inner workings of the Palin administration.
It's really quite an administration indeed. I mean, it certainly was a family affair.
Well, and the first dude is not just a world-class snow machine, not snowmobile, right?
They do say that, which that's something new. Never knew that before.
Yeah, I guess we need to spend more time in Alaska in the winter. So before we dive into this story about, you know, more digging into Trooper Wooten, this is the ex-brother-in-law of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
As you see this shaping up, we were just talking with Kay Brown from the Alaska Democratic Party, and I was a little underwhelmed because she's a pro-drilling kind of gal and wants to drill in Anwar, and so I didn't find a big distinction between this Democrat and...
Yeah, most people in Alaska, by the way, Peter... and this just goes back to when I was covering, energy issues back even when I was at Dow Jones. Most people in Alaska do support drilling, even the ones that are, Democrats. First of all, the Alaskans, just the residents also receive money, from,
You mean the socialist transfer of wealth from the free market
exactly,
oil
yeah.
companies to these slugs?
Yeah, there you have it. But they do support, drilling in Anwar. It's a big deal over there. I wouldn't say that they, support it simply because they want to enrich, them, themselves or, put money in their own bank accounts, but that has a lot to do with it, and it also has to do with just certainly the job situation. I mean, the Prudhoe Bay operations have been more than 25 years up there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Employ a lot of people.
Yeah, but doesn't anybody remember the Valdez and the oil spill there, and just the?
It's interesting. I mean, when you talk to people, certainly Democrats, they remember it, but they're really for drilling in Anwar.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take that in their own state, that sort of look at their pristine wilderness or this acreage where they need to just to set aside. side. They have a more conservative view about it.
Well, I'd like to fly some of these jokers into San Francisco Bay and just show them the continuing damage from what was a relatively modest spill earlier this year when the Costco Busan ran into the Bay Bridge in the fog. And, you know, the cleanup from that is still, I mean, there's still some oil floating around and washing up ashore these days. And I think people really need to understand the full cycle of this before they just feel sorry for themselves because they're paying $4 at the pump and they don't really care where the relief comes from. It's just lower my prices and don't bother me with the ecological issues or the fact that this limited amount of oil really won't make much of a difference in world supplies. Here's Nick in Arcata who wanted to comment on that. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, my comment is, from my understanding, this oil pumped out of the United States, Alaska especially, doesn't have to stay in the United States. It goes to the world market. So they could pump another 20 billion barrels a day, and it doesn't mean the United States is going to benefit from it.
Well, it's a good point, Nick. A lot of the Alaskan oil does go to Japan. They ship it directly there for refining and processing, and some of it has to do with the type of crude oil that comes out of Alaska and where the refineries are that can handle that, et cetera.
It also has to do with the routing issues. I mean, getting that oil... we can get some of that oil to, you know, California, but, you know, there's pipeline issues.
Well, that's why God wants Sarah Palin to build a new pipeline in Alaska.
You know, it's just very interesting, though. I mean, that when you mentioned the, you know, this Alaska Democrat, you know, it's that part does not make a difference to, you know, most people over there.
So, Nick,
I mean, you can still be a Democrat in Alaska, and you know they're still really into hunting, for example.
Right.
And that's something that you would necessarily associate with a Democrat. You know, you think the Ted Nugent.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
I say one more thing.
Yeah.
From my understanding, the Democrats were rumored to have tried to put through a bill that said the oil developed or the energy developed in the United States stays in the United States. And it got shot down by the Republicans. Now, I don't know, that might just be a rumor, but, you know.
Well, you're going to see a lot of posturing over the next few weeks, and my suspicion is that there will be no further legislation that actually surfaces from the House and Senate this fall, particularly related to this offshore drilling where they want Democrats to lift the ban as part of this all-of-the-above approach to energy expansion that the Republicans champion. And my feeling is that they will, you know, they'll debate and they'll gum it to death. But ultimately, there won't be a bill because the Democrats will insist on a rollback of the tax breaks for the oil companies that were jammed through last year and to convert that into investment in renewables. And the Republicans will oppose that. And ultimately, if there is a bill, it'll be vetoed by the president. So I think we're relatively safe on the offshore drilling issue this year. But the Democrats have shown a willingness to consider it. And Nick, I just want to ask you, do you recall about 3 weeks ago, the McCain campaign was ridiculing Obama and passing out tire pressure gauges?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And do you remember the actual nature of the speech that Obama gave and the question that he responded to?
Well, I do remember that, but I also remember NASCAR came out about, 6 months before that, saying that everybody should do that.
Well, but the real point that Obama was making was that if we all checked the tire pressure on our cars, that we would save more oil than we could extract from ANWR and the Outer Continental Shelf put together.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
And nobody wants to hear that. And we've seen now the polls are showing that a majority of Americans, it's in the 60s, thinks we ought to be doing more drilling. And they think of it as a response to high gasoline prices. Well, hey, does anybody realize that giving more leases to the very same oil companies is an invitation to further price gouging? Nobody seems to want to take the oil companies on and say, play fair. Don't, you know, rape the American public by ratcheting up the prices, and they've done it well beyond the actual cost of the crude oil that they've had to purchase, and that's what creates these windfall profits. Nobody, including most Democrats, seems to want to take that on.
Well, it's touchy right now because everybody's, you know, basically broke because their income's down by, what, 10% at least.
And who are the pirates that stole my lunch money?
Oh,
it's
the
oil companies, for God's sake. Nick, thanks for your call today.
Right.
Good to hear from you.
You know, Peter, just by the way, that's something back in 2001 with regard to, you know, you were talking about the tire gauge and conservation that, you know, Dick Cheney had ridiculed Gray Davis about when it, with regard to the electricity crisis. I mean, this was a, you know, they were stepping up their Flex Your Power campaign mm-hmm. at the time because, you know, Washington would not do anything in terms of, you know, putting the brakes on these out-of-control energy prices. And basically, you know, Cheney was criticizing the state, saying it's not really deregulated anyway. You need to open up the market. Conservation's ridiculous. You know, if you look at that energy policy, it doesn't factor in there very well either.
Yeah, personal virtue is what Cheney refers to conservation as.
Yeah.
And speaking of Gray Davis, the Gray Man may call in next hour. Jason, you're probably aware that he, of course, was the victim of a recall. And now
right.
the prison guards are circulating petitions and threatening to recall the governator.
Yeah.
So
I have to say that, you know, considering that Schwarzenegger, and I interviewed Gray Davis about this, I think it was about a year ago, considering that Schwarzenegger came, you know, was elected specifically on the fact of, first of all, you know, Davis was recalled as a, with regards to, you know, the budget crisis, you know, that had a lot to do with the energy companies. Schwarzenegger came in on, you know, saying that he would be able to clean that up, and hasn't, it's sort of ironic.
Well, they took his broom.
Yeah, he held up that big broom when he, you know, when he arrived in Sacramento. But,
yeah, but somebody took it. We don't know where it is.
He's, you know.
All right.
He's, you know, I don't know what to do with the broom.
Now let's talk about the maverick reformer governor of Alaska and your story posted today
yeah.
at pubrecord.org about what appears to be an illegal investigation. Using the resources of the governor's office and chasing down Mike Wooten's files
right.
at workers' comp and his employment file.
Yeah, let me just preface this by saying that I spent many hours interviewing people in Alaska, law enforcement officials, former aides to the governor, and you know, some folks over at the union, and I even spoke to some individuals in the workers' comp division. This is really a part of the story, the narrative behind, you know, Sarah Palin that truly undercuts the entire argument that she is this reformer. This woman had a vendetta against this guy, Mike Wooten.
Well, and there's a pattern, Jason, in people who have spoken up publicly that if you crossed her or if you did not kiss her butt,
right.
That she stopped talking to you, she
yeah.
would ignore you, and she doesn't have very good relationships with the leaders of the legislature, and they complained that she didn't even talk to them all the way through the budgeting process, and then she just vetoed a bunch of the appropriations.
Right.
So there is a pattern here that she's very high-handed, has quite a little scorebook that she keeps, and she likes to settle those scores.
Yeah, and she's also, Peter, you know, just quite a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I mean, you know, perhaps that's part of her, the way that her administration or she specifically handles criticism. But particularly when it involves this troop brigade, if you will, if you look back on the on her previous statements, you know, when she was being questioned about this particular aspect of the case, you know, whether this was the public safety commissioner was fired because he wouldn't fire the trooper, she said that you know, this timing is so suspect. You know, this is a result of my critics who are bringing this up because we're dealing with an energy crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, with this latest episode involved Sarah Palin, her husband, and several aides almost immediately after she was sworn in as governor, literally get, you know, perhaps illegally launching, you know, what amounted to an unauthorized investigation into this trooper's workers' compensation claims, basically saying that, you know, he was not too injured or sick to work, that he was filing, you know, more or less false claims. And when you look at this, Peter, you know, think about it. Why would a governor be involved in an individual's workers' comp claims? They used Alaska Office of the Governor stationery to send photographs, reports, statements to the workers' comp division to undercut this trooper's claims for benefit.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment, you can bring it on right now. And you can ride in on a snow machine if you want. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Jason Leopold from pubrecord.org on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Taking a look at traffic on KRXA, and we'll start things off. Prunedale, southbound 101 off-ramp to Viera Canyon Road. Two cars, both off to the side. CHP is on the way. Another crash just coming in Hall Road at Werner Road in Pajaro. Two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder as well. For Hollister, Fairview Road at 156, we've had reports of a horse running around the roadway. Drive with caution there. Highway 68 now checks in, stalling accident-free. Same goes for 17 as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Of course, you will see the usual slow traffic once you get to the Fishhook in Santa Cruz. Southbound 101, seeing that slow traffic as you leave South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive, making your way down towards Morgan Hill. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And it's amazing what iTunes can do for you. I found a song I didn't even know I had by Thin Lizzy, and it's called Sarah. There's a new button out. Attention, Sarah Palin. Jesus Christ was a community organizer. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
When you came in my life, you changed my world, my Sarah. Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah.
Thin Lizzy, wouldn't you say? Jason, don't you think that's a pretty wimpy song?
That certainly is not The Boys Are Back in Town. Or Whiskey in the Jar.
No, it's not.
That's the Thin Lizzy I know.
All right, we got some more callers, but first I just wanted to clarify one point that you were alluding to earlier.
Yeah.
In your article you say, under Alaska's strict privacy laws, Trooper Wooten, that's the former brother-in-law, would have had to provide written authorization to allow the access that Governor Palin, her husband, and some top aides took upon themselves.
Right. That's absolutely true. And by the way, if you want to take the calls first, but let me add that, you know, she is saying right now that, in fact, he did provide that written authorization. In fact, he did, you know, say that these records are accessible. In July, she posted two documents on her website saying that, her sister's attorney said that all this information was gathered through the discovery process. Those two documents have since been removed. Turns out there was a sunset provision in the document that mm-hmm. basically said as of, you know, May 1st, this is all over. In addition to that, you know, the fact that it was part of the discovery process through the divorce proceeding, you know, simply does not give her the right or anyone the right to, you know, use it in a way that would try and hurt him, mm-hmm. use it against him.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me just add, you know, this is far from an exemplary police officer. I think that everyone agrees on that. But this is a, you know, it's pretty clear that this is a gross abuse of power.
Yeah, it's a personal use of public power in a way that does appear to violate the law.
Yeah.
Now to Pete in Carmel. Thanks for calling, Pete. You're on with Peter B. and Jason.
Okay, so just a couple of quick things. I noticed during Sarah's speech, she talked about drilling not getting us out of our energy mess, but I thought the mantra of the Republican Party was that it was. All we had to do was just drill everywhere, and the problem was solved.
Yeah, well, that's the fallacy of that argument. That drilling wouldn't even give us an immediate break at the pump. The savvy traders on Wall Street know that any sort of drilling is not going to provide us with the immediate crude that we need. It takes 10 years.
The earlier version of John McCain opposed offshore drilling because it wouldn't produce enough oil and it wouldn't really have make any kind of a dent on the world market. So just ask the old McCain.
You know, Peter, by the way, if you think about it, you know, this whole idea of like drill here and drill now, this is sort of like in a way to cast themselves, the McCain-Palin camp, even McCain, when he was harping on that, really cast himself as like, you know, the real man,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah.
Whereas Obama is, you know, let's not do this. You know, let's look for alternative means. It's this sort of masculine
cowboy
character.
It's a cowboy western thing
putting out there.
Pete, anything else?
Well, just kind of a funny thing. They mentioned her foreign policy experience, and they said, well, her state borders Russia.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in that area several years ago when it was all frozen over, so I got to see it. It's pretty desolate. There's really nothing out there.
I don't think there are too many Ruskies along the Bering Strait there saying, Sarah, Sarah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Pete. Now, Steve and Salinas, you're on the air.
Yeah. I for the first time in my life, I bought the National Enquirer today.
I resisted the urge. I almost did it the other day. It's expensive now, almost $4 for that rag.
I know, but when you're filthy rich like me, what the heck? Anyway, his front cover is Sarah Palin's Dark Secrets,
right.
An affair that nearly ruined her career, how she tried to cover up teen daughter's pregnancy and family war that exposed her lies. Now, when National Enquirer talked about John Edwards, they had lots of credibility, and it was all over the mainstream news.
Yeah.
And why isn't this? Why do they have no credibility now that they're talking about her?
Well, that's a long story. The Enquirer has earned the reputation that it has. At the same time, on this story, it does appear to have good sources and methods there. Jason, have you reviewed their article?
I have not. I'll be honest with you. It's an area that I normally just stay away from. But I can tell you, though, that the mainstream media, the New York Times, Washington Post, and I have colleagues at both papers, they are looking at it. They are looking at that, and they're doing so, not being happy about doing it, but they're doing so because of the Enquirer's reporting on Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of, being forced to say, hey, you got to take a look at this. I mean, they've got reporters down in Anchorage. And, of course, as everyone knows, is the reality is the only way to really upset any sort of campaign or politics is a sex scandal. The fact that she doesn't have, she doesn't even know that, what's going on with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Jason Leopold, pubrecord.org.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. John McCain got a big bounce from the Republican convention and his running mate Sarah Palin. A CBS News poll shows undecided voters are starting to go his way. Sarah Dutton of our survey unit.
Some voters who were uncommitted in August have now made up their mind firmly which candidate to support. Among those voters who've made their decision, more of them are going to John McCain. 59% of them say that that's their vote choice. Just 41% choose Barack Obama.
But nearly half the voters who were undecided in August remain that way. Case in point, Pennsylvanian Linda Brode, who supported Bill Clinton and then George W. Bush.
I have no clue who to vote for. And I'm usually made up my mind by now.
She's waiting for the debates. Whoever wins will make the big decisions on further troop withdrawals from Iraq. President Bush revealed today that the current numbers will be little changed by the time he leaves office.
Declaring that violence in Iraq is at its lowest level in more than 4 years, President Bush announced plans to withdraw another 8,000 U.S. troops over the next 5 months.
And if progress in Iraq continues to hold, General Petraeus and our military leaders believe additional reductions will be possible in the first half of 2009.
But at the same time, Mr. Bush said he'll beef up U.S. forces in Afghanistan by sending another 5,000 troops there. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Both John McCain and Barack Obama want more troops in Afghanistan. Obama says the troop reductions in Iraq are not enough. On a beach in the Florida Keys, wind and waves whipped up by Hurricane Ike, which crossed western Cuba today on its way to the Gulf of Mexico. Daniel Melendez is a meteorologist at the National Hurricane Center.
We are looking at the potential for landfall anywhere between the Louisiana-Texas border to northern Mexico sometime around Saturday morning.
By then, I could strengthen to a major hurricane. It's currently a Category 1. The big announcement appeared today on Lance Armstrong's website.
After long talks with my kids, the rest of my family, a close group of friends, I have decided to return to professional cycling in 2009.
He'll try for an eighth Tour de France win. Armstrong is 36. He won his seventh title after a bout with testicular cancer and says his next race will be dedicated to the global fight against cancer. Democrats in Congress have revived their effort to pass a second economic stimulus package. New York Senator Charles Schumer says it would be at least $50 to $75 billion. Proposals include home heating subsidies, another extension of unemployment benefits, loan guarantees for the auto industry, aid to the states, and new federal spending on roads. A bad day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials down 280 points to 11,230. This is CBS News.
Here at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, we know you make a ton of decisions every day. So here's a simple one. Just book at choicehotels.com to earn triple choice privileges points starting with your second stay. That means free nights faster. And with a no-brainer like that, you can focus on the important stuff, like why sheep don't shrink when it rains. Book your stay at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE. We'll see you there.
Reservations must be made at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE at qualifying rates. Valid 9-1 through 11-30-08. See choicehotels.com for details.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
It will be 7 years on Thursday. WBZ Radio's Carl Stevens reports on a ceremony today in Boston.
Caroline Oganowski was 14 years old when her father died. John Oganowski was the pilot of American Airlines Flight 11, one of two planes that took off from here, Logan Airport, and crashed into the World Trade Center towers. She was among those here for the dedication of this 9/11 memorial.
It being 7 years later, we can be more at peace with it and come to a place like this and reflect and really be happy that there's beautiful places and people who care.
The memorial is a large glass and steel structure featuring the names of the 147 people who were on board those two planes. Carl Stevens, CBS News, Boston.
Apple founder Steve Jobs tried to dispel rumors about his health when he introduced a new iPod Nano music player in San Francisco. Jobs, looking thin, appeared before a screen with the message, "The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated." Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter V. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter V.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Shake up the news.
A little bit later this hour, we're going to meet Ben Spencer, to his friends. He's a candidate for Congress in Utah. And his Republican opponent has proposed some tented camps to house illegal immigrants. And Ben Spencer is going to tell us about that flap coming up a little later. Also, there's a 50-50 chance we're going to hear from the former governor of California this hour. Gray Davis, as you recall, was recalled in 2003 and replaced by the Austrian-born action movie star who currently plays governor here in California. And now the Prison Guards Union, very powerful group, has started to circulate petitions and put Schwarzenegger on notice that they are preparing to recall him. So if it happens, we'll get the recalled governor's comment on the prospect of recalling the current governor. And if that's too many recalls, well, you have to work on your memory. Melanie Sloan, as you recall, is the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She joins us again today. Welcome, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
And I see some good news on your website that the investigators are getting a little closer to John Doolittle here in California.
Oh, and I know how he's one of your favorite members. That is so close, you can touch it.
Yeah. So Kevin Ring, a former lobbyist and a former staffer to Doolittle, he was arrested today. Tell us about it.
He was actually arrested yesterday.
Okay.
And he was, a grand jury handed down an indictment on Friday, and he's been charged with 10 counts, including giving illegal gratuities, conspiracy, honest services fraud, and obstruction of justice. And it goes through 40-something pages of all of the things that Mr. Ring was doing while he worked with Jack Abramoff, the now convicted former lobbyist, and how they work together to basically corrupt the process by working with representatives, members of Congress, and their staff. Particularly in there is a very long section all about John Doolittle. And in it, it talks about Kevin Ring is a former staffer for John Doolittle, and it talks about all of the gifts that Mr. Ring made to Mr. Doolittle and his staffers, which included tickets to sporting events and concert events and dinners at Mr. Abramoff's restaurant signatures, as well as other expensive restaurants around town. It also included fundraisers and private travel. And best of all, it talks about something we've talked about on your show before, that Jack Abramoff hired John Doolittle's wife, Julie Doolittle. Mm-hmm. We've always said that he hired her to do pretty much nothing. It was just a way to funnel money to John Doolittle. And that turns out to be true, because in the indictment itself, they reference a couple of emails from Jack Abramoff about hiring Julie Doolittle. And, by the way, John Doolittle solicited Abramoff for a job for his wife. And in it, somebody says, well, what do you want Julie Doolittle to do? And Abramoff says, well, really, I don't want her to do too much. You know, have her help you out on a couple of things, but really, I don't want to take away from her responsibilities as a wife and a mother.
Hmm. Well, that's those family values surfacing again.
That's right.
Now, Melanie, we noted last week that the only cry for 4 more years, since we don't have an incumbent running, is the sentencing of Jack Abramoff. He picked up 4 more years from the federal court in the bribery and corruption cases. He had been previously sentenced under that Sunkist Cruise Line flap. So in the reporting on that, they described, the New York Times and others, that as many as a dozen people have been convicted as a result of Abramoff's information. And the prosecutor said that he has cooperated quite a bit. Is this latest indictment of Ring a result of the work product of convict Jack Abramoff?
It would seem that it is. Ring and Abramoff worked very closely together for a very long time, and so Abramoff would have known what Kevin Ring was doing. Kevin Ring was also apparently cooperating with prosecutors up to a point. He says that he spent over 100 hours with prosecutors, and yet prosecutors nevertheless were insisting on charging him with obstruction of justice. They say that he offered to turn himself in, but they went to his home to arrest him anyway. So they're trying to make the case that Mr. Ring was trying to cooperate, but prosecutors made it impossible. I guess that's something we'll see play out in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add here about Ring, Abramoff, and Doolittle?
Well, Just that it seems like we are getting closer to John Doolittle, and I think there's another member of Congress, Ernie Istook, who is named. He's from Oklahoma, who gets named in this indictment as well. Hadn't really been on the radar scene, on the radar screen for too long, although there is somebody else, a former Justice Department official, who had contacted Mr. Istook before, and one of his former staffers had pleaded guilty. But in the years leading up to this, we really hadn't known that Ernie Istook was so involved in this. He, too, looks very bad in this indictment. And I think the real point is it's just not over. There's still more to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep watching. And I'm just looking at a link on your website here. It's a little bit dated, but it refers to jackinthehouse.org. If people want to refresh their memories about Abramoff and some of these characters, is that site still available?
I think it is. If you just go through our site, it's the best way to go, and you can see all of the members of Congress and other characters who were involved in this whole scandal.
And her website is citizensforethics.org, and it's F-O-R, Citizens for Ethics. One of the other battles that you've been on the front lines with is to try to preserve the records and emails of the Bush administration. And yesterday you filed a complaint against Vice President Cheney demanding that they honor the Presidential Records Act.
That's right, and we've talked about the Presidential Records Act before when we talked about the missing White House emails. And the Presidential Records Act was passed in 1978 to say that the records of the White House don't belong to any particular president, but they're the people's records. And so they are required to preserve them. They're supposed to turn them over to the National Archives at the end of their administration. The Vice President, as we know, has been making an argument in the past couple of years that he's not really part of the executive branch. He says that he's not part of Congress, but is attached to it by the Constitution. So he's his own fourth branch of government, as we've joked. But the issue is that under the Presidential Records Act, the papers of the Vice President, his official papers, are supposed to be turned over to the archives. And yet if Mr. Cheney is attached to Congress and he's talking about papers being in his legislative role and not his executive role, then those papers need not be turned over to the archives, is I believe the argument he'll make.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's saying, oh, yes, I'll turn over all papers that I'm required to under the Presidential Records Act, if he's saying that he's not really part of the executive branch, not part of the White House, but part of the Congress, then he's saying none of his papers need to be turned over. So we've sued and we've asked for a preliminary injunction to have a judge preserve all the records, because the problem is Cheney will argue that this issue hasn't come up yet because the papers haven't gone over to the archives. We're talking about something speculative, something that he might do. But if we waited until the transition, he would have had a chance to destroy everything already.
And have you sought any kind of a court order that would allow you to confirm that the records have not already been destroyed?
I think we'll start getting into those issues with this preliminary injunction. You know, I am sure, Peter, that some records have been destroyed, because, frankly, this just didn't occur to us long enough ago that the Vice President was positioning himself to avoid the Presidential Records Act. No Vice President has previously refused to turn over papers, but Cheney, as we all know, seems to be a law unto himself.
Yeah. Melanie Sloan with us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Sarah Palin's going to come in there and clean up Washington. You ready for that?
Well, I'm not really counting on that. I think her reputation as a reformer is a little more than she deserves.
Well, give us the example of how she is trying to shift the investigation into her Troopergate scandal to a friendly venue.
Well, what she has done is she has tried to say that the investigation into her firing of the public safety commissioner is not really appropriate for the legislative council that has been set up by the Alaska State Legislature in a bipartisan show, decided that this should be investigated, and then they hired a former Alaska district attorney to do the investigation. Ms. Palin, who is on the one hand claiming that she's cooperating with the investigation and has been on the other hand trying to undermine it from day one. For example, she had her attorney general start running a parallel investigation as soon as she learned that the Alaska legislature was going to undertake an investigation. Interesting that the attorney general would be the one to do an investigation, since he was one of the people she had pressuring the public safety commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's just one element. So while she's been saying she would cooperate, she hired a private lawyer saying the attorney general is conflicted out, and he's argued that the case should be moved to the Alaska Personnel Board. The personnel board is made up of three people. She tried to say on CNN this week that they were all appointed by Governor Murkowski, and that's true. Two of them were appointed by her predecessor, and so was the third, but she also reappointed that person. So obviously she views this as a much friendlier place than this than the assistant district attorney, former ADA, who's been hired by the legislative council to undertake an investigation, and they've also been now vilifying the state senator who's in charge of the investigation, although not conducting it himself, calling him a Ken Starr-like figure and saying he's after a political vendetta.
And Melanie, when you called a news conference in Washington last week and raised these issues, how did the corporate media respond? Do you feel that they're taking these issues and going to investigate them fully, or have they been intimidated by the efforts of the McCain team to get the media to back off?
I think they've been totally intimidated. You know, one of the McCain people, I think it was Steve Schmidt, one of his top people, has said they're not going to have Sarah Palin talk to the media till the media shows her proper deference.
Yeah.
Well, I'm unaware that it's the job of the media to show deference to the presidential and vice presidential candidates, but yet that seems to be exactly what's happening. And Ms. Palin trots out her reformer mantle and says, you know, she was against the bridge to nowhere, even though she was for it before she was against it, and then you're not even allowed to question her when she lies.
Yeah. Yeah, it is insidious, and I'm wrestling with it myself. Well, Melanie, thank you.
I hope you'll stand firm, Peter. I trust you to do that.
I will, but it is a difficult target because of the way she has evoked sympathy from people who never thought sexism was a problem before. I've been telling my listeners about my Republican neighbors, and they're buying Sarah Palin hook, line, and sinker. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out and if the truth really will ultimately prevail. Melanie, thanks for your work. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Peter.
And visit the website citizensforethics.org to find out about more on these and other cases. We're going to take a break and return to your phone calls. So grab a line and chat with me. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You dial 1-38-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty quiet so far this evening. Just a couple of things out there. Prunday, an older crash. South 101 off-ramp to Viera Canyon Road. Two cars, both off to the side, waiting for tow trucks to arrive. CHP should be on the scene. Also, a fender bender in Pajaro. Hall Road at Werner Road. A couple of cars off to the right-hand shoulder. Roadwork Salinas, 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. They have some lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete barrier that may cause delays. Southbound 101 leaving South San Jose. Heavy traffic from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into Morgan Hill in some spots. And Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, check and install an accident-free. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, now when you visit your genuine Toyota service center, enter to win gas at $1.99 a gallon for 1 year. No purchase necessary. See participating dealer for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the free speed zone. Most lines available right now, so don't be shy. Pick up your fancy phone and call me toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Nick is standing by to take your call. Ask my California listeners today, what do you think about this prospect of a recall for Governor Schwarzenegger? I have to say, on first blush, I'm not in favor of it, because I really think that a recall should be reserved for a gross miscarriage of justice, malfeasance in office, corruption, perjury, those sorts of things. And I don't believe that Gray Davis should have been recalled on the merits. Politically, he was vulnerable, and it happened. I do understand that. But I really think that we should wait for the next election. And I'm also jaundiced about the prison guards union in this state. I'm a labor guy, and I support unions. But this union goes way over the top in feather bedding for its members by getting involved in public policy. The three strikes law was championed by the prison guards union. Not as a way to make California safer and to keep thugs off the street, but as a way to preserve high-paying jobs for their members and actually expand that employment in the prisons. And so I'm very, very curious as to how this will play out, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. Are you prepared to support a recall of Arnold Schwarzenegger? All right, let's start the calls now. Marianne in Monterey, welcome to the PBC show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks. You know, I am so concerned about this Sarah. Everything that's coming out about her, all the corruption, the lies, she stood there and lied, the phoniness, all we're going to get, if we get Sarah, is George Bush with lipstick.
Yeah.
That's it. We're going to get the same thing. They're like the same.
Well, you know, you make a good point. They will say anything. They do not care about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not concerned about even having their own previous statements compared to their current statements. They are just oblivious to what we consider to be basic honesty, and they really will say anything to manipulate people politically. So they are cut from the same cloth.
They are.
I don't disagree.
It's the same. And I think this goes past being a Democrat or a Republican. I just hope every American thinks about having George Bush, but with lipstick, back in the White House.
Okay. How about Dick Cheney with lipstick? That'll offend people even more. And a thong, too. Let's get him a thong.
That was an
lovely image. Imagine her legs, her big hairy legs.
Let me introduce you, Karen in Sacramento, one of the underwriters of the Peter B. Collins Democratic Convention coverage in Denver. Thank you, Karen.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought I'd toss. I haven't been able to sleep at all lately since this appointment. And
really?
It's just one thing after another. And to hear, like, your neighbors would be supportive of it. And even down here at our little food co-op, I ran into, you know, somebody that I always get my political news from, and he was all bummed out. He was like, people here are thinking about Palin.
Yeah.
So now I went and got this article from the L.A. Times the other day written by Gloria Steinem.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard from her in a while.
Yeah.
She put together a real nice article here. She says Sarah Palin shares nothing but a chromosome with Clinton, and that she's nothing but a patriotic worshiper and opposes just about every issue that women support.
Yeah, but just as Tom Frank pointed out in What's the Matter with Kansas, particularly Republicans and evangelicals can be led to vote against their self-interest. Now, Karen, I just have 40 seconds here. What about the way Hillary went to Florida yesterday and really refused to engage directly with Palin? She says her role is to attack McCain, and she's kind of trying to ignore Sarah Palin.
Wow. You know, that could be smart. Sometimes ignoring little children is the best way to get their goat. Maybe Hillary knows something, and maybe this woman will just suddenly explode out onto the stage and make a fool of herself, as she did the other day with Fannie Mae.
Well, maybe, but I would like to see Hillary not necessarily, you know, get into a cat fight or mud wrestling with her, but she is the best person situated to talk about sexism and misogyny in political campaigns, and how the Republicans have been nowhere in sight on all of the big feminist sexist battles of the last 30 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're born again to protect their gal from the evils of the liberal media. Karen, thanks a lot for your call today, and thanks for all of your support. More calls next, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Good vibrations.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speed Zone. If you're on the line, stay there. If you're not, get there. 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls coming up shortly here. And during the break, I just got word that one of my favorite members of Congress, Dr. Jim McDermott, has signed on as a co-sponsor of Dennis Kucinich's impeachment resolution. Hooray.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose. Sirens in my head. Grab up the sirens, off the hits in bed. Can't let you go. My whole life spins into a frenzy.
Right now, we're going to meet a Democrat running for Congress in Utah. Benyon Spencer joins us now. He's a former television newsman, spent 25 years as a reporter and a news producer and news director. And now he is running for Congress. It's not quite an open seat. Republican Chris Cannon lost in the primary. So it's Ben Spencer against Republican Jason Chaffetz. Ben, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's good to be with you, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And certainly I want to see an expanded Democratic majority in the House this fall. And you might be able to contribute to that. First up, just let me ask you your thoughts about impeachment. I mentioned that Jim McDermott from Seattle has signed on now as a co-sponsor. And I have no illusions that this process would lead to the removal of Cheney or Bush before the end of the term. But I think accountability and full disclosure is really important. What's your position on impeachment and the way the Speaker, quote unquote, took it off the table?
Well, I think that she probably took it off the table because she did not want to distract Congress from energy and the budget and the war in Iraq. But I wish there was a process, and this really isn't, you know, due diligence to the judiciary, but I wish there was a process where we could just strip them of their pensions and not allow them to profit from their presidency for 4 years.
You know, we actually could do that. Jim McDermott told me that. You can impeach after the presidency, and you would actually remove the retirement benefits from Bush and Cheney. At least that's a prospect.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, some people that are sent to prison for certain crimes aren't allowed to profit from those crimes by putting a book out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it doesn't distract from this whole process that we're looking at, I would go along with the fact that I do not think they should profit from their presidency, and I do not think they should have the access to their benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to make it clear that I really believe a lot of laws have been broken. It's much more than a sex act with an intern and lying
right.
about it. And that we need to set a standard here that we did not tolerate this behavior and we will not tolerate it in the future.
Oh, yeah, I can agree with you more.
Mm-hmm. Ben, let me ask you about one other hot-button issue for me. I want my Fourth Amendment rights back, and I'm deeply troubled by the way the Democrats were complicit with the administration in these FISA amendments that were finally passed in July, and I do believe that they're unconstitutional because they've removed probable cause from the process of, launching a wiretap or intercepting the email of an American citizen.
Right, right. You know, I mean, I've had so many people just today, and it's a coincidence, ask me, you know, while I'm campaigning, how do you feel about the Constitution? And I feel very strongly about the Constitution. I was in a debate today that talked a lot about the Constitution, and it's amazing how the conservatives sit there and tout the Constitution, but they're the first ones to trample on any individual rights that we might have.
And so what do you think is the process here? The FISA amendments do have a 2-year sunset, so in the summer of 2008, that debate will be back. And I believe that the FISA law from 1978 was sufficient. Maybe you wanted to change it for roving wiretaps and cell phones and some of those things. But, you know, fundamentally, this was the easiest court to get a warrant from in the whole United States.
Right.
And the Bush administration made it act like this, was a huge impediment to their efforts to keep me safe. And
right.
I think that's a crock. I think that they used it willfully, and certainly much of it may have been focused on national security, but we can't be sure that
no,
they weren't
we can't.
Spying on political opponents.
No, we can't. I mean, if we want to look at everything that the Patriot Act and FISA and everything has done for us, are we safer? We don't know. Even General Petraeus could not say, with everything that we've done in Iraq, are we safer from attacks in America? We have no way of measuring this. And you know what? Why don't we just try a good foreign policy and see if that can't make us safer, and let's protect our rights as Americans and our privacy as Americans.
We're talking with Ben Spencer from Utah. His full name is Benyon, B-E-N-N-I-O-N, and you need that to get to his website, BenyonSpencerForCongress.com. That's BenyonSpencerForCongress.com. Now, Ben, one of the things I'm aware of is that your opponent, Jason Chaffetz, is trying to play the immigration card really hard, and he's talked about what creating tented prisons to house undocumented and illegal aliens. This seems like a very extreme effort to get on board with the Tom Tancredo wing of the Republican Party.
Oh, those two are joined at the hip. And you know what I find offensive is, he says, round them up, put them in a tent city, and deport them. Now let me ask you, what does round up mean if that's not profiling? I mean, how would you know? You see five people walking down the street. How do you know without profiling? Of course, maybe with this FISA Act, they could wiretap and find out if they speak a different language. But I'm very offended with this because, to me, it's not a question of showing people respect who are different from us. It's about showing people respect who are members of our community.
Well, and I looked at your website, Ben. You're not a slouch on this issue. You want to secure the borders. You talk about a program to regularize those who are here without documents now. And what I read on your website is a reasonable approach. I believe we have every right to secure our borders. I don't think it'll solve the problem. I think it's
no.
a huge waste of money. But we have that right, and I don't quibble with that, even with right-wing Republicans. But when they talk about either voluntary deportation or a kind of Nazi effort to purge the nation of non-citizens, that's where I think they're just flat-out crazy and that this is deeply un-American.
Well, it's a pattern. It's about the wiretapping. It's about rounding people up. I mean, there's a pattern here, and I'm very concerned about it, and it's very offensive. And I just want to thank the state of California because Mike Honda jumped in and actually blasted my opponent because he actually served time. He's one of your congressmen who served time in one of those camps during World War II when he was a child. And
right, he's a Japanese American from San Jose. He was a school teacher before he went to Congress, and along with Norm Mineta, the other Japanese American congressman from San Jose, they were interned in these ugly Manzanar and other camps that were scattered around the country, and that was, of course, during a dark period in World War II. There's now a monument to those Japanese Americans who suffered in Washington, and I guess we've got to plan one for Gitmo and Abu Ghraib, and then for the next purge of non-citizens.
Well, you know what's interesting? Our own Attorney General from Utah, who is supporting my opponent, was asked on the radio today, okay, if someone is picked up in the United States and they're undocumented, what is the violation? And he said, it's an infraction. That's what he called it, infraction, okay? So we're not rounding up people with traffic tickets and shipping them off. And we have to understand, what are the conditions that people are coming across our border? I mean, we've got to look at NAFTA, and we've got to look at their economy. And I believe we secure the borders, we punish people that are hiring them, taking advantage of them. But we have to have a pathway to citizenship, because we can have, I mean, you know, we're a melting pot, and we need people to help us not only with their economy, but we can learn so much from other cultures. And, you know, I had an elementary school call me the other day, and the third grade teacher said, please don't deport them, because these students, these young kids, bring so much enrichment to our classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Benyon Spencer, I mentioned that you worked in the TV news business for most of your career. If you get to Congress, will you be my champion on media reform?
Sure. Gosh, I just got off the phone with one of the editors for one of the local newspapers, you know, and I speak passionately about the Fourth Estate. People keep saying, you know, we need a transparent government. And I says, we need a Fourth Estate that will stand up and report what's going on. And I will do, yeah, we need a lot of media reform.
I work in talk radio. I'm an out progressive. I'm not afraid of the word liberal. But I'm outnumbered every day, 9-1. The conservatives dominate AM talk radio.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, well, you know, we want regulation because we can't win in the marketplace. No, I want basic fairness. And, Ben, in simple terms,
about the fairness doctrine.
No, I actually didn't like the fairness doctrine.
Okay.
But I believe that if we reinvigorate the license renewal process and require the owner of a radio or television station to certify that they broadcast more than one set of viewpoints and that they showed, you know, opinion diversity in the course of their license period, if they had to prove that to renew the license, I think we'd go a long way toward forcing a kind of balance that doesn't require, you know, records being kept and an immediate, if a lefty is on, then you have to have a righty. You know, what I would like to see is just more views out there and more voices, not any effort to control the ones that dominate today.
I agree with you. And I, you know, in Utah, we had a report come out a couple of months ago that said we had the lowest voter turnout of any state in the union, and I think a lot of it is apathy. But I think the media just pounds on the extreme right, saying this is the way it is, this is the way it is. And I think that diversity would energize people about the elections. It would allow them to look at the candidates. It would allow them to see where they're clearly different from each other. And I think it would be a very important part to our democracy. I'm all for that.
All right. Well, Ben, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I wish you the best in the campaign this fall. And I hope that you defeat this Jason Chaffetz fellow. Again, your website, BenyonSpencerForCongress.com. B-E-N-N-I-O-N. BenyonSpencerForCongress.com.
Peter, if I win, I'll call you on election night.
Okay, great. I'll look forward to that.
All right, thanks.
Nice to meet you, Ben.
Bye.
All right. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. And let me go to the screen here and see who's been waiting the longest. It appears to be Joe in Brookings. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, how's Tina Fey at Saturday Night Live lost her mind? I mean, running with John McCain like that. It's just just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Then you got Al Franken running for the Senate. It's like Saturday Night Live is going to take over the world.
And I don't know about...
And it ain't even that funny anymore.
Joe, when I turn my back to the TV when a Sarah Palin soundbite is playing, I kind of hear Roseanne Barr. Do you hear that in her voice?
No, that's strange you mention that, because Roseanne Barr did so much for the Hillary Clinton campaign by endorsing Hillary. Now she's endorsing Cynthia McKinney, so that ought to get Cynthia McKinney really far. Roseanne Barr endorsement. Yeah,
just don't ask her to sing the national anthem.
Yes. I did want to mention the fact that Bob Barr is the only candidate to legally qualify for the ballot in Texas. But, of course, they're going to let the Democrats and the Republicans on the ballot anyway.
What's the issue there?
That the Democrats and Republicans, of course, you know, they don't have to follow their own rules, you know. Everyone else has to follow the rules to get on the ballot, and the Democrats and Republicans can just ignore the rules anytime they want to because they're the one.
Okay,
they're the ones that wrote the rules.
What rule are the Democrats and Republicans ignoring? I don't know the issue here.
They didn't file the proper paperwork or whatever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't legally qualify for the ballot, but because they're the Democrats and the Republicans, they're supposed to get on the ballot anyway. So from what I understand from the Barr campaign, they're considering suing the Democrats and the Republicans to keep them off the ballot.
Interesting.
I think that would be sweet.
Well, we had Bob Barr on the show, and he's moved to the left. He was trying to dance away from some of his newty positions of the early 90s, and it was really interesting. I certainly support him on the Constitution and on ending torture and reinstating habeas corpus, stopping the wiretapping. He's right on a lot of issues, and I think that he could be an interesting spoiler in Georgia and possibly a couple of other states to hurt
Texas,
McKinney.
He could win the whole damn thing if he gets his way.
I wish that were true, Joe. I'm not opposed to breaking the lock of the two parties, but I just know how things work. And you have to win an entire state to get a single electoral college vote.
I know that.
And
if he won the lawsuit to keep the Democrats and Republicans off the ballot, he could do that.
Well, and you know what the deja vu is? When Barack Obama first ran for the state Senate in Illinois, he was, a mentor encouraged him to run because she was going to run for Congress. Then Jesse Jackson Jr. entered the congressional race. The mentor came back and said, "Hey, Barack, I want to keep my seat." And he said, "No way." And he had some campaign activists who found technicalities to keep her and others off the ballot. And Obama ran unopposed for his first state Senate victory. That's what we know. Thank you, Joe. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening. Now, tell somebody about it, will you?
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty quiet so far this evening. Just a couple of things out there. Prune Day, an older crash. South 101 off-ramp to Viera Canyon Road. Two cars both off to the side waiting for tow trucks to arrive. CHP should be on the scene. Also a fender bender in Pajaro. Hall Road at Werner Road. A couple of cars off to the right-hand shoulder. Roadwork Salinas, 101 both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. They have some lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete barrier that may cause delays. Southbound 101 leaving South San Jose. Heavy traffic from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into Morgan Hill in some spots, and Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, check and install and accident-free. This is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department's Toyota owners. Now when you visit your Genuine Toyota Service Center, enter to win gas at $1.99 a gallon for 1 year. No purchase necessary. See participating dealer for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Population is, in my opinion, one of the hugest problems. The planet can't take 7 or 8 or 9 billion people, right? And so the Pope goes to these third world places like India and Africa and Salinas. And you know what he does? Right? The Pope goes to these developing nations and tells people not to use birth control to continue reproducing. That's a great idea, Pope. That's very helpful. I tell you what, why don't you pass out some Barry White albums and sangria while you're down there, you know? Encouraging the third world to reproduce more. Why don't you leave some Frank Sinatra box sets around there, huh? That's the most romantic music on earth. Leave some of that. Hey, you crazy nut, come out of that hut and get some butt. Botswana, Botswana. I want to wake up in that village that never eats. Everybody, come on now. Sing along.
That's Johnny Steele.
From planetcruise.org.
It started with sightings, UFOs over Monterey Bay. I'm your host, Bob Oliver. With a quantum leap and open mind, I will take you another step further as chaos shows itself to us as truth. Saturdays at 9 p.m.
No fighting. Shakira.
No fighting. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Shakira,
Shakira. Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my head's so light. I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction.
We select the bumper music on the program to amuse me. And if you like it too, well, that's great. One of the catchiest tunes I've heard in the last 5 or 10 years. It's called Hips Don't Lie. And let's see who's on line one here. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I believe this is Larry in Aptos.
Yeah, hi. I just read on the Internet where supposedly there's two inside campaign workers for the Obama campaign who are a little bit worried that Obama is going after Palin, and they don't agree with that strategy.
Yeah.
I think they're dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the one you need to go after because she's actually the one that the Republicans are running for president now. If he would have picked anybody else, he wouldn't have got this 8-point bounce. She's energized a lot of people, not just the extreme right wing.
Yeah.
She's energized people who are fence sitters who believe in evolution. But, you know, I'm talking about people who, whenever you bring up conversation about things like health care, and you mention, well, everybody should be on Medicare, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, that'll make it even worse because the government's going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't know that Medicare only has a 2% overhead. I mean, just uninformed people who do listen to CBS News at the top of the hour and don't know what democracy now is.
Well, we do have problems with doofuses and ignoramuses, and it is a challenging situation to take on Sarah Palin without turning her into a victim. And we saw that, you know, I felt that there were excesses against Hillary Clinton. There were sexist comments from Chris Matthews and some of the locker room gang on his show. There were situations where I think that Hillary can complain about coverage because she was a woman. But they went well beyond that, and they played this victim card, and it was really resonating in May and right up through the Puerto Rican primary there in June.
Well,
and so just one more thing. I think that I agree with you that Obama and Biden and the campaign team need to confront Palin directly on her misstatements, on her outright lies about the bridge to nowhere, I think that they do need to tread carefully so that they do not feed this victim mentality that has been prefabbed for her.
Well, they can go after her record and point out the hypocrisy. Like, she becomes the mayor of a town, and she leaves it some $27 million in debt. You know, forget about maybe the librarian thing. I mean, that could be like when you really want to start throwing, spit wads at each other. But,
yeah.
You know, she's going to be, and again, the perfect dad would be, this person will be one heartbeat away. And, you know, she says this and then just put the record out. This is what really happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that would click in people's mind like, oh, wait a second. She's just another phony politician that's, walks the walk, but talks the talk, but doesn't walk the walk.
Yeah.
And that would be one way of getting these people in the middle thinking, oh, yeah, this was just a political decision. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with her competence. In fact, she's incompetent. And, yeah, we need to vote for Obama because we've had 8 years of Bush, and we don't need 4 more years of Mick Bush.
Yeah. Well, and Obama is sharpening his comments, but even his sharpest is a pretty dull table knife. I'd love to see him sharpen that up and get more succinct when he does respond to the Republican attacks. Let's talk to Judy in Marina, listening on KRXA. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that. Thank you for calling.
Well, actually, I called originally in response to the lady who was so concerned about the reaction to Sarah Palin and who made a comment about Gloria Steinem, writing something, and we hadn't heard from her for a while. And there's something about Gloria Steinem that I would like to say, and that is Gloria Steinem does not represent me. Nor does she represent most of the women that I know and interact with.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously,
give me one example of where you feel she doesn't represent you. Just articulate that.
Okay, let me give you an example of where I feel she does represent me, and that's in things like equal pay for equal work.
Mm-hmm.
But some places where she doesn't represent me are issues like abortion, issues. A lot of issues like, most of what she has to say is very liberal, and I'm a conservative.
Okay. Judy, I want to talk with you more, but we're at the end of the show, and I can't extend it further. So can I ask you to call me back tomorrow? Because I'd like to hear you out and get a better sense of what your values are, okay?
I'd sure like to talk to you. Whether or not we'll be able to call tomorrow. I don't know.
All right. Well, call me when you can. The free speech zone is for you, too. Thanks, Judy. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Happy trails.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. John McCain shook things up when he selected Alaska Governor Sarah Palin to be his running mate, and as the dust settles, more of it is falling his way. A CBS News poll finds more undecided voters moving toward the Republican ticket than the Democrats. CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace found some Pennsylvanians who were pushed over the fence by Palin.
Terry Klingeman is a registered Republican who was undecided.
She sealed the deal with her speech. She really did.
Even Philip Coles, a registered Democrat who's undecided, says he relates more to Governor Palin than Senators Obama and Biden.
I guess because of her, the way she was brought up and her family values as well.
Traditionally, it's the top of the ticket that sways undecided voters. The emergence of Sarah Palin is challenging that assumption for now. Kelly Wallace, CBS News, Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
President Bush announced today that by the time he leaves office, 8,000 troops will be withdrawn from Iraq.
Civilian deaths are down. Sectarian killings are down. Suicide bombings are down. And normal life is returning to communities across the country.
Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
These troops were scheduled to depart Iraq. They will then not be replaced by other units. And units now that have been earmarked to go to Iraq now will be sent to Afghanistan.
Mr. Bush said huge challenges remain in Afghanistan. Hurricane Ike, after killing at least four people and causing widespread damage in Cuba, is moving into the Gulf of Mexico, where it has plenty of warm, open water to take on new energy.
It's expected to intensify, and the latest forecast is still calling for this to be a major hurricane approaching the Texas coastline by late Friday and into early Saturday morning. Could be as strong as a Category 3, and it's certainly possible it might be a little bit stronger than that.
Dave Bernard is a CBS News hurricane consultant. Oil companies are securing their Gulf Coast refineries and evacuating workers from drilling rigs that could be in Ike's path, but the oil market seems unconcerned about the weather. The price of crude fell $3 today to $103.28 a barrel. Analyst James Cordier says it's a reaction to reports from the OPEC oil ministers meeting in Vienna.
They are not going to cut back production. They're not going to fight for higher prices. I think that speaks volumes to the idea